Bless those who persecute you. If you can, let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Kellogg. Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Our Bible teacher is Steve Brown. And here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Jeremiah as we continue in our Old Testament survey. I found a unique way to teach the book of Jeremiah fairly quickly, and I haven't decided what I'm going to do, if I have some left. I may go back and pick up a few of the verses next week in Jeremiah, or we may just go on to Lamentations. I personally believe that Jeremiah wrote Lamentations also, but we'll save that for another time, and I'll mention that a little bit later today. But what we're doing is talking about Jeremiah, and I started writing out a sentence about Jeremiah, a messenger of judgment, and then I realized I could add to that. And so that's a good way to organize the book of Jeremiah, because frankly, it's not very organized. I mean, it's kind of fragmentized, to be perfectly honest with you. It's a very hard book to teach if you're teaching it line upon line and precept upon precept. I have taught this book, taken over a year to teach it, and it's a hard book to teach, to be really honest with you. But this is kind of a neat way to think of it, to center it around Jeremiah and what are some of the themes that you find in Jeremiah, and you can see the themes in the book. And so we took the sentence, Jeremiah, messenger of judgment. That's Jeremiah 1, 11 through 16. And then secondly, we said Jeremiah, God's messenger of judgment, Jeremiah 1, 4. Then we said Jeremiah, God's weak messenger of judgment, Jeremiah 1, 6 through 8, Jeremiah 12, 5. And then we saw Jeremiah, God's weak, unsuccessful messenger of judgment, Jeremiah 12, 1 through 4. Then we saw God's weak, unsuccessful, persecuted messenger of judgment, Jeremiah 1, 17 through 19. Now I want to show you something that's kind of surprising, to be perfectly honest with you. Jeremiah, God's weak, unsuccessful, persecuted, loving messenger of judgment. Flip over, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because we're going to study Lamentations next, but flip over to the first chapter of Lamentations, which I believe was written by Jeremiah himself. Now, you got to remember that this is a man who's been persecuted by the people over whom he now weeps. And this is how the book of Lamentations opened. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she who was great among the nations. The princess among the provinces has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. And then he goes on and on. But the thing you see in Lamentations, and that's what the title means, are the tears of Jeremiah for the people who persecuted him. You know, you would think that Jeremiah, when God really did what he said he was going to do in terms of judging God's people, Jeremiah would have said, told you so. Told you so. But he didn't. He looks at what God is doing, the absolute necessity of judgment, and Jeremiah's love is incredible. And maybe before you go to bed, you want to read the 40th through the 51st chapter of Jeremiah. Those chapters are stand out in the book of Jeremiah because they constitute a sermon of love and sustenance to the very people who were persecuting Jeremiah. Let me read you from Matthew 5, 43 through 47. Have you heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy? But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Spurgeon used to say to his students, when you preach on hell, do it with tears in your eyes or don't do it. What was he saying? He was saying you better have love and you better have compassion and it better be manifested even to those that you think are getting what they deserve. Let me give you a principle. Love is tested only when it's not returned. And say it again. Love is tested only when it is not returned. It's really important to do that. I remember when I was a young pastor down on Cape Cod, there was a drunk in our village, and I'd stayed up with him when he had the DTs, you know, seeing things crawling on the roof, and I mean, it was an awful night. One time he rammed his fist through the wall. He was so out of his mind. When he got in his right mind, he was a lobster, man. That's the first time I ever had lobster. He sent me a lobster. It looked like a big roach to me. And, you know, my wife and I are both from the mountains, and we just hadn't eaten that kind of stuff, and it didn't look like you ought to eat it. And I'll never forget calling. He had a hangover you wouldn't believe, and his wife, they were both on the phone, and we said, well, what do we do with this thing? And they showed us how to put it in a boiling pot, and then how to use the butter with it, and then how to, and when we did that surgical procedure on the phone, and after we cooked that lobster and tasted that lobster, I thought, you know, I've got a new hobby. I'm going to eat roaches the rest of my life, man. This is so good. I just can't. That's an aside. That didn't have anything to do with anything. But I remember when he came to know Christ, you know what he said? He talked about his wife, and she was the one that begged me to come over when he was going crazy. And he said this, she loved me into the kingdom. I'll tell you, I wouldn't have. I'll tell you something, it was a hard time for her. She had every right to divorce him, to walk away, but she didn't. She loved him. And she loved him into the kingdom. I want you to think, if you will, of somebody who just drives you up a wall. Somebody's put a knife in your back. I want you to pray for him. And then I want you to say, Lord, make me like Jeremiah. That's a hard thing to do. But I'm here, and I'm willing if you'll do that for me. And he will. So, Jeremiah was God's weak, unsuccessful, persecuted, loving messenger of judgment. Let me give you one more, and then maybe next week we'll stay with Jeremiah. Maybe we'll move on to Lamentations. I haven't decided yet. You heard about the man who went to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist said, I understand that you have trouble making decisions. He said, well, yes and no. Jeremiah, God's weak, unsuccessful, persecuted, loving, and here it comes, vindicated messenger of judgment. Jeremiah 1:19, they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. If ever there was a man who could say, I told you so, it was Jeremiah, but he didn't, because he knew that God was going to protect him. There was a story that I used to tell at least once a year when I was a pastor about how they kicked Jonathan Edwards out of the church in New England. And he refused to retaliate. He refused to get back because he said God would vindicate him. And you know what happened after he left the church? The two guys that were responsible, one went insane and the other committed suicide. You say, Steve, that's horrible. You told that every year? Well, I did it sort of as a joke. But as a reminder, don't mess with me, man. You know, it could happen to you, too. No, I didn't. But I did tell that story often because it illustrates that if you belong to God, you're ultimately victorious and will be vindicated. I'm glad I became an evangelical when it was hard to be an evangelical. Back in the days when I decided to get serious with Jesus, I've been a pastor of a liberal church and had been, in fact, a liberal myself. Now today, if you become an evangelical, you're on the winning team. If you become an evangelical, you become a part of the group that has the big churches that sell the most books and have the most money. But when I did it, I mean, the evangelicals had the little storefront churches over in a corner and nobody paid them any attention. And so I was very glad to be on board and to watch the changes take place across America. People used to say the liberals and the evangelicals fight. They don't fight anymore. It's over. You liberals lost. I mean, I'm sorry, But you did. Your seminaries are dying. You just can't get it together. But boy, I can remember when they used to bring Christianity Today and put it on the dinner table at the refectory at Boston University, bound up with those ropes when they would bring magazines in. And they never got, nobody ever cut through the ropes. Nobody wanted to read that magazine. We read Christian Century, which is a fairly liberal, still around, but only because they've got some extra money that they get from foundations to keep them alive. Christianity Today is the most successful magazine in the history of the Christian church. But I've often said, Lord, I'm glad you called me and allowed me to become an evangelical back when it wasn't popular. And you know why? Because I saw the vindication of the truth. I saw how God honored those who honored his word and who faithfully proclaimed it. Well, Jeremiah was able to see that too. God would stand with him. God would vindicate him. He would be okay. And the reason I'm telling you this isn't just to hear myself talking. The reason I'm telling you this is even if they don't like you, even if they persecute you, even if you don't have all that you would like to have right now, you hang tough. You be faithful, and it'll be okay. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, if you don't have the booklet we're offering, From Panic to Power, I'd love to send it to you, and I'll send it to you free. And I really mean that. Don't you dare not write for this or call for it, because you can't send a contribution. If you'd like From Panic to Power, if you're going through a hard time, this is going to be a helpful book, or you might want to give it to a friend. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address, and ask for From Panic to Power. And don't you dare not write for this if you can't send a contribution. It's really free, and I mean that. But that does not mean that we'll turn down a contribution. Frankly, this is a very expensive ministry, and we can only do it because people who get ministered to are willing to stand with us financially. If you're to be one of those, pray about it. Be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. Or you can include it in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching, Forgiven and Forgotten, The Problem of Guilt. Hey, I got to go. But before I go, be sure and give us the call letters at the station when you write. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.